Part 5. Nothing is ever really over. Extract from Name the Day Survivalist Forum, subboard NTD/Enoch.
Fox in the Henhouse is at Go Bag Prepped status. Fox in the Henhouse has made 2,391 posts and received 3,127 thumbs up. Hi, everyone. This is a post specifically for people who are new to Enoch's teachings. There are more detailed analyses going right into the heart of things on a deep level elsewhere. But if you've come here because you've watched a video and want to get an overview of what Enoch taught and why we think he's such a vital voice today, you're in the right place. Today we're looking at the Sermon of Rabbit and Fox, also known as the Sermon of the Essential Problem. This sermon is probably the most famous of the 5 sermons of Enoch. Enoch gave this sermon several times, and you can download the MP3 files of the different versions at the bottom of this page. This version is put together from 3 of the longest MP3 files. Everything below, after this paragraph, is the direct words of Enoch. And, for those not familiar with NTD, I'll be using the comment function to annotate the text. It'll appear in a sidebar. Fox in the Henhouse. It'll sound like this.
Once upon a time, there were 2 brothers. Their names were Rabbit and Fox. Fox loved to hunt. He knew the scent of the woods at dawn and could smell the sun rising with his hands over his eyes. He knew the sounds of every bird in the forest and the splash of every fish in the river. He knew all the berries in the bushes, the fruits on the trees, the tubers underground.
Fox in the Henhouse. Even though Enoch calls Rabbit and Fox he and him, here, I think this all applies to both men and women. What do you think? Weigh in.
He could fashion a fishing pole from a tree branch, string it with sinew and a bone hook, and dig a worm from the riverbank to tempt a fat fish. He knew how to track a wild antelope or a boar, to separate the weakest, to bring it down with a single arrow. Fox knew how to work with others to trap and hunt, and his greatest pleasure was working together so they should each return to their band with a hind slung over their shoulders. Fox knew there was no certainty in the hunt, and Fox lived in not knowing. He dwelled in the mystery of the forest, river, and caves, and what they would give him. He wished for a more certain future, but he was not driven to attain it. Instead, he made little figures, a small half-man, half-deer from wood, a slippery half-woman, half-fish from river stone. He asked them to bless his hunt and send a good antelope to him. Around the circle of the year, Fox moved mostly from place to place, visiting the sacred caves with paintings made by his ancestors and the standing stones. He traveled following the elk or the bison, the woodland fowl or the fattening of clams at the shore, staying in some places for 2 moons or more, and in others just a night and a day, worshiping as he moved, negotiating with the spirits of each place and each animal. Fox had heard from Rabbit of owning, but found the idea of owning land as absurd as the idea of owning breath. Land is only yours for as long as you are in it, just as air is only yours for as long as it is in your lungs. Fox knew the land by walking it. That was enough.
Fox in the Henhouse, what does this mean to you? Let us know. We're always here to talk.
His brother, Rabbit, was a different sort of man. Rabbit was, above all, afraid. He feared the unknowable future, the darkness that lay over each hunt, concealing its outcome. To relieve his fear, Rabbit liked to have things where he could see them. Rabbit grew crops in fields and kept a herd of sheep on the fodder he had allotted for them. Rabbit did not mind working hard. It was a lot more work than Fox ever put in to keep the weeds from the vegetables and the wolves from the sheep. But Rabbit enjoyed the feeling that one thing led to another, that there was no luck involved. Rabbit liked to know what was coming next. Unlike his brother Fox, Rabbit wrote in an orderly book about the past and the future. Sometimes Rabbit worshipped the old gods with the head of an eagle or an elephant or a jackal. It's hard to let go of old gods.
Fox in the henhouse. What do you think Enoch is referring to here?
But when Rabbit invented new gods, they were gods who embodied principles and traits, not places and creatures, which he felt was a civilized step away from Fox's rather literal deities. While weeding his rows or caring for his flock, Rabbit sometimes wondered whether there might be a single, powerful god, rather like him, a shepherd to lost sheep, perhaps a gardener of souls. Maybe that god owned the world and had given it to him. Rabbit believed in owning as a sacred right. He owned his land by fencing it off, by cultivating it and planting it. Rabbit and Fox hated each other. Though they were brothers, they strove against each other all the days of their lives. And in the ancient writings, this war happens time and again. Fox and Rabbit are represented by the wanderer Odysseus and the battle against Hector, the hero of the walled city of Troy. They are Gilgamesh, the ruler of the walled city of Uruk, and the wild man Enkidu, who fights him before they become friends. And, as someone has recently pointed out to me, in Genesis, Fox and Rabbit take on many names, Ishmael and Isaac, Cain and Abel, and most of all, Fox is Abraham the wanderer, and Rabbit is his corrupted, city-dwelling nephew, Lot. Okay, I see your faces. You're thinking to yourselves, I gave up a warm bed and a comfortable life in the city for this? To listen to a nut tell me about rabbits and foxes and ancient history? So listen, this story is true. Not just in the ancient texts, but in science, archaeology, everything we know about the past tells us so. Once upon a time, humans walked the earth, hunting and gathering. That's what I've called Fox. Okay, forgive me my poetry. Now almost all of us live by agriculture, and we're what I've called Rabbit. And why the fuck did we do it? Yeah, that's the question. It happened, you know, quite recently. Our species has existed for 350,000 years. Until 12,000 years ago, all Homo sapiens were Fox. To put that another way, for 95% of the time there have been people, all people were Fox. There was no such thing as Rabbit.
One Corn. At Fox in the Henhouse. What do we think Enoch is referring to? Well, we think that here Enoch is treating speculation as if it were fact, mingling his good reasoning and scientific knowledge in with some stuff he made up. We think that's okay, but that he probably should have pointed it out.
Fox in the Henhouse. You're not welcome here.
One Corn. You literally created an open, everyone-welcome forum. Enoch wouldn't have been afraid of debate.
Rabbit arose at the end of the last ice age, when the waters receded from the face of the earth. The story is recorded in the literatures of many cultures. The earth warmed, ice melted, so there was water everywhere, a great flood. Fox was clever. Fox had always taken advantage of every opportunity. In this new, warm, damp world, many people began to reason in a certain way. If I were to take every animal I want, two by two, a male and female, then I shall have more. If I were to place this grain into this wet and fertile ground, what then? All of us know how it ended, of course. Fields and orchards and flocks and harvests, and intensive nitrogen-based fertilizer, and cows pumped full of hormones to speed their growth, and battery chickens with no space to turn in their cages. All right, so why did we do it? Anyone want to guess? Inaudible. Sure, that's the obvious answer. And that's not an insult, by the way. You should say obvious things, because sometimes they're right. So, okay. Anyone who didn't hear, her answer was, because they wanted to eat better. Not a bad guess. Except let me tell you something. For centuries, rabbit starved and fox thrived. Those who hunted and gathered as their parents had taught them were well-fed and strong as ever, eating elk in their season and crab apples in their time.
One Corn. Man, he had a way with words.
Those who tried planting and herding were malnourished, their bones brittle and deformed. Their babies died again and again and again. They were filled with plague. They lived close-packed, humans and animals, and they caught one sickness after another from their herds. When the rains failed, or the storms turned, or the locusts came, the whole crop died and the people starved. In these days, devastating pestilence and famine were born among rabbit. And yet they kept trying. The animals, two by two. The seed in the wet ground.
Fox in the henhouse. You're on the automatic boot list. I can get rid of you with one click.
One Corn. Yes, but that's not what Enoch would have wanted.
This was not a short period. It went on for hundreds of ghastly generations. Fox prospered, and Rabbit starved and died. So why the hell did Rabbit carry on? The first answer is, we don't know. For the first 7,000 years of this brutal experiment, no one had invented writing. We don't know, and your guess is as good as anyone else's. There are a few theories. They're not opposed. They may all be true.
One Corn. Enoch believed in letting yourself be open to many truths. You see?
First, what archaeologists call symbolic behaviors. Fox loved to carve sacred symbols or make cave paintings with special meanings, to worship at a particular grove or spring, and return there every year. So the theory is, a few fox people loved their symbolic behavior so much, they decided to stay at the sacred bend in the river when the tribe moved on. They had built shelters, even small villages, for the yearly visit from the nation. Once they decided to stay, they needed a way to eat. Capture wild goats, two by two. Plant apple seeds and grain. Hope. Pray. When the babies die, dedicate them to the gods of the place and continue. Second, what we might call specialized agricultural products. Anyone want to take a guess at what that is? Inaudible. Well, you're on the right track. There is a type of natural product that Fox could not get much of. It has to be carefully stored in one place, not moved around. It takes weeks of bubbling in a sealed container to be good. That product is booze.
One Corn. Look, Enoch wanted us to be disgusted with ourselves. He was disgusted with himself. And he's not wrong about any of this, but it's not like we need to hate ourselves for being what we are now either.
A lot of early agriculture focused on fermentable grains, barley and rye and maize. Even tobacco needs to be dried. Maybe a few fox people weren't satisfied with a bit of rotten fruit every now and then. Early rabbit wanted to get buzzed all the time, and it didn't matter if there was disease and starvation and malnourished children if you were drunk every day. Okay, here's an important one. Sex. Fox traveled around in small bands of, we think, between a few dozen and a few hundred people. Enough that you could find a sex partner or two and raise your kids. But not as many as your appetite might want. Maybe Rabbit decided to stay at the sacred spring with the booze because a bigger community, even a starving one, just had more opportunities for some strange. Drumroll, please. Here's the big one. The future. This is the essential problem. We can imagine the future. And once we've imagined it, we can't stop. The dice box of evolution optimized us for brain and then let us get on with it. Our instincts were to hunt and gather, but our big brains knew the antelope might escape and we might find no fruit today. Our big brains chewed on it. What if? What if? For some fox people, the anxiety was overwhelming.
One Corn. This part kills me. because it's not like Enoch escaped this way of thinking either.
Fox in the Hen House. At One Corn. What are you here for?
One Corn, at Fox in the Hen House. I'm here for the truth, man.
If the problem is, I don't know what's going to happen, it's often easier to make sure you do know what's going to happen, even if that means it's going to be bad. They preferred to look at a mud patch of crops and six scrawny goats and say, there, that's what I'm going to eat, and be certain, then deal with the uncertainty of the hunt every day. It was an illusion. A swarm of locusts and a murrain would wipe out the crops and the flocks. But Rabbit, drunk on symbols and sex and fermented barley, preferred the illusion to reality.
One Corn. You know, Enoch preached on Lot and Sodom many times, but he always left that story at the worst part. Cave incest and you're out. Mic drop. Humanity is doomed by the project of agriculture and urban living. But that's not the end. I looked it up in the library when I was 14. Nothing is ever really over. Moah had a son, Moab. Amma had one too, Ben-Ami. Their descendants occupied the north and south of what is now Jordan. You can read about their archaeology. Enoch must have read it. You know, I thought so much about this. If you go far back enough in any of our families, there's cave incest, or something unbearably terrible, a rape, a brutality, a woman who thought her life was over. And yet, this story tells us, things go on. Those baby boys would have laughed when they saw a tiny shining fish rise from the bright waters, or when a snail crawled from a bending leaf to their small fingers. Every time, we begin again, again. The beginning does not foretell the end. There is no end.
Fox in the Hen House. Who are you?
One Corn. Does it matter if someone's showing you the truth?
Like I say, these things might all be true. These things probably are all true. This is probably how some foxes became rabbits. They liked art and novels and religious ecstasy and stories about gods or heroes and movies and video games, or the nearest local equivalents, and sex with strangers, and booze and drugs, and a nice hoard of gold to sit on. Does that sound like anyone you know? Of course it does. These days, it sounds like almost all of us. We're descended from Rabbit, from crafty Jacob and murderous Cain, from the grandiose sophisticate Joseph, and from the complicated man Lot. We hate Fox like our ancestors did. And that's why we rabbit people persecute and loathe and murder native people and indigenous people and traveling people and nomadic people and homeless people and anyone without a house and a nation state as we understand it. When this nation tried over hundreds of years to annihilate all its native and indigenous people, that was the hatred of rabbit people for fox people, the violence of symbols against reality. We hate them to convince ourselves that we're okay and safe. The story of Sodom is about urban people who had the illusion of a plan and how they found out that there is no such thing as a plan. I'm not saying agriculture and settlement don't have many benefits now. I'm saying we got involved in this whole civilization situation for reasons we might as well be aware of.
At this point in the recording, Enoch pauses. When you listen, you'll hear that he's talking so quietly that only the mic on his shirt collar would have picked it up. He's talking to us. You might like to think about what these words mean to you. We're not going to be able to go back. Maybe we can go back a bit. I'm not here to convince you of anything. I don't know why you follow me. All I've ever done is remember something we all know. I'm no Abraham. If you think I am, it's because we see so little light in the darkness now that a tiny glimmer shines like the sun. I'm not going to be able to be what you want. We have to try. We have to raise our children to be less rabbit than us.
One Corn. Oh, Enoch. Listen. Listen to how the broken world went. after Lot's son-grandsons were born and grew and founded nations. Those two nations, Moab and Ben-Ami, battled and loved. They made alliances and broke them. They built great cities. They domesticated sheep and goats. They made art and music and pottery and stoneware. They created some of the first statues of humans ever made. Many show two women entwined together as if they were one, two heads on one body, closer even than sisters. Enoch, one terrible thing, one daughter's betrayal, won't stop the world. The future rolls on and on, despite what we say. In spite of our best efforts, it's us that will die, not the world.
Fox in the Hen House. Have you written any of this anywhere?
One Corn. I mean, if you want to hear more from me, you can always follow me.